B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Nun Vav. We're going to start the new Mishnah, four lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Shisha Dvarim Osu Anche Yerichoi. The Yisraelim, the Eden living in Yerichoi, they did six things, and none of these six were actually, the Chachomim were not pleased about them. But on three of them, Al Shloisha Michu B'yodam, on three of those six, even though they did it on their own backs and not under instruction of the Chachomim, nonetheless, only three of them, Michu B'yodam, the Chachomim actually protested and objected to what they did. Val Shloisha Loi Michu B'yodam, and the other three, even though the Chachomim were not pleased about it, they did not object, they did not protest. These are the three things that the Chachomim did not protest. Number one, Markivin de Kolim Kol Hayim. They would graft the palm trees the whole of the 14th of Nisan. That's how this Mishnah comes in here. The whole day of the 14th of Nisan, even though we know that you're not allowed to do melachas in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. Everybody agrees with that. And over here, they would be grafting these palm trees the whole day. And even though the Chachomim were not okay with it, they did not protest. The Kirchin es Shema, they would wrap up the Shema. There's something with the way they said Shema that was not really the way it was supposed to be. We'll see in the Gemara what that is. The Koitzrin v'goitchin lifnei ha'omer. There's a discussion whether the word koitzrim, reaping, should be there, but we know that the new produce that was grown every year was only allowed to be, the harvest was only allowed to be used after the Korban Omer was brought on the 16th of Nisan. Before then, you were not really allowed to eat from the Chodosh at all. However, the people in Yerichoi, they would reap the Tvua, the produce, even before the Korban Omer was brought. The Goitrim, not only would they reap it, they would stack the produce, Lifnei Ha'omer, before the 16th of Nisan. And the Chachomim were not pleased about this, but they did not, when they were not Meicha, they did not protest. And others take out the word V'koitzrim and just say that the people of Yerichoi, what they actually did was, or that we were not pleased about, was not the reaping, but was the stacking. The following three things the people of Yerichoi did that the Chachomim did object and protest to. Number one, Matirin Gamziois Shel Hegdash. When there were trees of Hegdash, the new branches that grew on those trees after the trees were made Hegdash, the people in Yerichoi would say, they would be Matirin, they would say that one was allowed to have benefit from those new branches. The second thing, V'oichlin Mitachas Hanashorim B'Shabbos, that they under the palm trees, even though when Shabbos came in, many of these dates were still on the tree, and they would fall down during Shabbos, they would eat under these, under the palm trees, and they would actually eat from the falling from those fallen fruits that fell down on Shabbos. And here, and not only were the Chachomim not okay with it, they actually protested this, and we'll see in the Gemara what the discussion, what the argument was between the Chachomim and the people of Yerichoi. And finally, v'noisnin peor leyerek, they would give peor from vegetables, even though giving peor from vegetables is something which one's not required to do. And since one's not required to do it, if you do it, there's going to be a big issue. Because peor is potter from trumas and maestras, because it's hefker, it's ownerless, and one doesn't need to, one doesn't take trumas and maestras. Since one is not mechuyev, one's not required to give peah from vegetables. If you take peah from vegetables, the poor people collecting the peah, which is the little bit of the field that's left in the field, in the corner for the poor people to take, they're going to take it assuming that it has all the halachas of peah and has the status of peah, and they will not take trumas and maestras, and they'll end up eating vegetables which are tevel, because they'll think it's regular peah, and really it's not. And not only that, if the poor people eat it, they will have deprived the Levim of the matnois kuna, of the trumas and maestros that were supposed to be given to them. So it's a big issue. And umichu biyodom chachomim, the chachomim protested against the people that would do these three things, the people of Yerichoi. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Shisha Dvarim, Oso Chizkiyahu HaMelech. There were six things that Chizkiyahu HaMelech did. Al Shleisha Hoyduloi. On three of them, the Chachamim agreed with him. Val Shleisha Loi Hoyduloi. And on another three, they did not agree with what he was doing. Girir Atzmois Oviv. His father Ochoz, who was a big Rosha, when his father died, then he would just drag the corpse of his father on. He would just drag them on the floor instead of carrying them on people's shoulders, which would be appropriate. He just dragged them along the floor, and not only did he just drag him, he dragged them not on a regular bed where a deceased person, a respectable bed where a deceased person would be carried to the burial, rather al mito shel chavolim, a very cheap bed made of rope. And that was not only the quality of the bed was very degrading, but also the way that he was dragged was very degrading. And he did this in order to atone for his father's averus, and he wanted to make a statement about how much of a rosha his father was. Rashi says that it was, Rashi mentions both things, mishum kapara, and also umipnei kiddush Hashem sheizgane al rishay v'yusra roshoim. And the Chachamim agreed with him on this. Another thing Chizkiyahu HaMelech did, Kiteis Nochash HaNechoshes. We know that in the desert, when at some point Hashem, who was annoyed at something Klal Yisrael had done, so he brought them, the serpents, the snakes, to hurt Klal Yisrael, to punish them. And Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you want this to stop, then you should make for yourself a copper serpent, and whoever looks up to this serpent will be saved. And at some point, people were looking up as if to this icon, as if this icon had some power. And therefore, Chizkiyahu HaMelech decided to be kiteis, to crush, to grind up the copper serpent. V'hoiduloi, the Chachomim agreed with him that it was the right thing to do. The third thing he did, Gonaz Sefer Refuos. There was a book, a scroll of remedies to all the ailments and illnesses, and people, instead of turning to Hashem when they were sick, they would just look in the book of the remedies and get a cure. So Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he hid that Sefer Refuos, the scroll of the remedies, v'hoiduloi, and the Chachomim agreed to what he did. There's another three things that Chizkiyahu HaMelech did, which the Chachamim did not agree to. Number one, Kitzeis Dalsois Shel Heichal, the doors of the Heichal. Then Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he shaved them down, or he took them down, V'shigron LeMelech Ashur, and he sent them to Sancheirev, the king of Ashur, as a ransom to try and calm him down, and he shouldn't be hurting Klal Yisrael. V'haloi hoiduloi, the Chachomim were not pleased with this. He should have trusted in Hashem and relied that Hashem was going to do a miracle and save them, and not degraded the Beis HaMikdosh by removing the doors of the Heichal. Another thing, V'sosam mei gichoin ha'elyoin, the upper gichoin, which was a source of drinking water, when Chizkiyahu HaMelech realized that the armies of Ashur were about to make siege on Yerushalayim, he blocked up the gichoin, the upper gichoin, so that those armies should not have access to any drinking water. And here again, V'loi hoiduloi, Hashem should have just, Hashem, the Chacham did not agree, he should have just relied on Hashem and not made that statement. The third thing he did, Ibir Nisan ben Nisan, V'loi hoiduloi, we know that because the Pasuk says that the Yontov of Pesach always has to be in spring, even though Pesach is in Nisan. Nisan is one of the lunar months, and the lunar month is 10 or 11 days shorter than the solar year. So how is it going to work out that every year Pesach is going to be in spring if every day Nisan is 10 days earlier in the sun year than the moon year? So seven times in 19 years, approximately, they would add on an extra month, pushing Nisan ahead. And they would only add on this month that would be called a mu'uberes, a shana mu'uberes, so to speak, a pregnant year, a year with an extra, like a pregnant woman, one can tell that there's some extension, there's some protrusion from her, so also this year had an extra month from it, but they would only do that in Adar. In the month of Adar, they could choose to make a second Adar. Today we have the calendar. So we know in advance exactly which year is going to be a Shanam Uberes. Back in the days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, it was not that way. It was to do with Beis Din and the Edom, and they would sit every time, every year, they would have to reassess the situation and decide whether they were going to make the Shanam Uberes or not. But they had to make that decision before the end of Chodesh Adar. Once Nisan has started, you could not do the Ibur anymore. And Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he made a year, a Mu'uberes, even after Nisan had started. He wanted to, after his father Ochos died and many of the people were Tomei, he wanted to give them an extra month to become purified, to be able to do the Korban Pesach. So he decided to push off and add on an extra Adar, pushing Nisan a month ahead after Nisan had already started. And that the Chachomim v'loy hoiduloy, they did not agree with him on this. Continues the Gemara. Markivin de kolim kolayim v'chulu, we saw in the Mishnah, one of the things that the people of Yericho did, that the Chachomim, they were not pleased about, but they did not protest. The first one was that they would graft the date trees the whole day of the 14th of Nisan. Says the Gemara, Heicha Ovda, what were they doing? Omer of Yehuda, Maisa, Asa, means what the Gemara is now, what Rav Yehuda is now is going to explain, they were not really doing grafting. Grafting is something which in many cases is asa. What they were doing was they took some potion and they poured this onto the date trees, and that encouraged the date trees to become more fruitful. What did they do? Maisa asa dora, they would bring some fresh hadasim, v'shichra the dafna, and they would bring some beer or some juices from the berries of a dafna tree or plant, v'kimcha desaira, and some barley flour, deromi b'mono, that had been put into a vessel, d'leicholfio le'arboin yoim, but has not been in that vessel for more than 40 days, umartech lehu, and they would boil up all these ingredients, v'shodulu l'dikla b'libe, and they would pour it onto the heart of this palm tree, the middle of this palm tree, v'chol d'koi b'arba amos today, any palm tree or any tree that was within 4 amos of this palm tree when this procedure was done, iloy ovdi lehochi, had, if they didn't do the same thing with those trees, tzovi le'alta, it would wither immediately. The Rav Acha Brei D'Rava says that what the people of Yericho were doing, when it says that they were markivin dukolim kolayim, they would graft the trees the whole day of the 14th of Nisan, is mancha kufra dichra lenukvasa, they would take some branches of the male palm tree and graft it into the female tree. And even though normally the female tree would not be able to bear fruits, once they did this grafting, then this palm tree would be able to bear fruits, and this was not osa. Grafting one tree on another is osa. It wasn't osa because it was within the same species. It was a one date tree, one date palm into another palm. It was mutter. However, the Chachamim were not happy with it because they did it the whole day on the 14th of Nisan. They should not have done it at that time, but that's what the people of Yericho were doing. Rashi says that the loicholfi oleo arboin yoimin doesn't mean that the flour was not in the vessel for 40 days. It means that 40 days had not yet passed from when the flour had been ground. Continues the Gemara, the Kirchenes Shema, another thing the people of Yericho did, they would wrap up the Shema. There's something that they did with the Shema that wasn't quite right. Heicha Ovda, what were they doing? Omar of Yehuda, Oimrim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elekeinu Hashem Echod, v'lohayu mafsikin. They did not separate from finishing the word Echod to starting the Vo'ahavta, and we have to make a gap between the Hashem Echod and the Vo'ahavta, and they did not do that. Rava Omar, Rava says, Mafsikin hoyu. They did make a gap between, they did separate between the Echod of the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod and the Vo'ahavta. Elo shehoyu oimrim hayoim al levavcha. In the pasuk in Shema that says, Vahoyu advarim o'eila, these words should be on Ashanoichi mitzavacha hayoim al levavcha, that I have commanded you today, al levavcha, they should be on your heart. And they would say, without leaving a space, Hayoim al levavecha. They didn't say, Asher anoichi mitzavecha Hayoim, that I've commanded you today, comma, al levavecho, put those words on your heart. No, they said, hayoim al levavecho, today it will be on your heart. Demashma, it would seem from that, hayoim al levavecho, that only today it should be on your heart, v'loi mochor al levavecho. But tomorrow, these words do not need to be on your heart. And this is clearly a mistake. And that's what the people of Yerichai would say. And it was inappropriate. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. Keitzad hayu korchenes shema. How did the people of Yerichai, how did this, Bryce is now going to elaborate, what? How did they say the Shema? Oimrim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. V'lo hayu mafsikin divrei Reb Meir. They would say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod, but after the Echod they would not separate, they would not leave a gap, they would immediately continue with Vahavta. That's what Rab Meir says. Rabbi Yehuda says Mafsikin Hoyu, they did separate and leave a gap after Echod. Elosh Loi Hoyu Oimrim Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusoy La'ilam Voed. But the problem was they left a gap after Echod, but then they said Vahavta Es Hashem Lekecho, and they didn't say the posuk of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso La'ilam Voed between Shema and Vahavta. Asks the Gemara Vanan, my tam omrinonle. Why indeed do we say to the Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso La'ilam Voed? It doesn't say in the Chumash between Shema and Vahavta. Answers the Gemara Kedorish of Shimon ben Lokish. This is because of what Rab Shimon ben Lokish expounded on. The Omer Rab Shimon ben Lokish. The pasuk says, "Vayikor Yaakov el Bonov." Yaakov Avinu called his sons, the 12 Shvatim. Vayoyim, and he said, "He osfu, gather together." Vagidol lachem, I'm going to tell you, Esas yikro eschem b'achres hayomim, what's going to happen to you at the end of days. Bikesh Yaakov legalois lebonov keitz hayomin. Yaakov wanted to reveal to his children when would be the end of the Yamin. The Yamin meaning the right hand. And we know that the Pasuk says that Hashem, so to speak, when the Goyim destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, then he, so to speak, removed his right hand from protecting us and from taking revenge on the enemies. He removed his right hand and, so to speak, allowed the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the destruction, to happen. Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell his children when the Keitz HaYomin would be, when that was going to end, when Hashem was again going to stretch out his right hand, punish those that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and bring us back to the Beis HaMikdash. V'nistalko mimenu Shechina, and the Shechina, the Divine Presence, removed itself from Yaakov. Omer Yaakov Avinu proclaimed, Shemo chas v'sholem yesh b'mitosi psul, maybe there's a blemish in my offspring, ka'avram sheyotzo mimenu Yishmol, like my grandfather Avram, who had a son Yishmol, who was a blemished offspring. V'ov Yitzchok, and my father Yitzchok Avinu, sheyotzo mimenu Esav, that had an Esav. Maybe I, Yaakov Avinu, have got some blemish amongst my offspring. Omru Loi Bonov, his children said to him, Shema Yisrael, listen, Yisrael was at one of Yaakov Avinu's names, referring to Yaakov Avinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. We know that Hashem is our God, He is one. Omru, and what the message they were giving to him was, Kashein She'ein Belibcho Elo Echod, in the same way as you, Yaakov Avinu, in your heart, there's only one Hashem, there's no room for anything else. Kach Ein Belibenu Elo Echod, so too in our hearts, we believe in just one Hashem, and there's no blemish amongst any of your children. Boy Seisha, at that time, Pasach Yaakov Avinu, V'omar Yaakov Avinu, proclaimed as follows, Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchusoy La'ilam Void. That's what Yaakov Avinu did. Omri Rabbonon, and now in the Rabbonon, were discussing what to do. And they said, Heicha Navid, what should we do? Nomruhu, should we say the Baruch Shem? Loi Omri Moshe Rabbeinu, in the Psukim, in the Chumash, which Moshe Rabbeinu gave us, it doesn't say Baruch Shem between Shema and Vahavta. Loi Nomru, should we not say Baruch Shem? Omra Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu, following the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod that he heard from his sons, he said Baruch Shem. We're not going to say it. Yaakov Avinu did say it. His kino, so the Chachomim said, they decreed Sheyu Oimri Moisei B'chashoy. We should say it quietly. We shouldn't say it loud and make a statement because it's not written in the Chumash. Don't ignore it because Yaakov said it. Say it quietly. Omer Bitzchok. Rabbi Yitzchok said, Omre de Beir of Ami, Moshel, this is analogous to Lebas Melech of the daughter of a king, a princess. Sheiricha, she smelt Tzikei Kadeira, the spiced stew. Im Toimar, if she's going to say it in that way, please give me some spiced stew. Yesh lo gnai. It's not appropriate for a princess to say, I'm desperate to have some of that stew. Lo itaymar, she shouldn't say it. Yesh lo tsar, she's in discomfort, in pain. What should happen? Hischilu avdeo, her servants realized that on the one hand she wanted it, but on the other hand she was in a predicament, it was inappropriate of her to ask for it. So what did they do? They started lahavi b'chashoy, they brought it to her quietly without making a big fuss. So too, the Chachomim had this, so to speak, predicament, should we say Baruch Shem, should we not? So they said, just say it quietly, and therefore you've also said it, and you've also not said it, and you've got out of your predicament. Continues the Gemara, Omer Bavo, Hiskinu Sheyuoimrim Oisoi Bekoil Rom. Even though initially they said, say it quietly, but because Mipneitar Oimis Aminim, because of the murmuring of the heretics, where they said, what are these Klal Yisrael saying quietly after Shema Yisrael? We know that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod is a statement of faith, of Emunah. So the heretics were saying, what are these people saying quietly under their breaths? It seems that they're saying something which may be leaning to some heretical beliefs, and they are making some disclaimer about the Shema Yisrael. And this was very not good that they were saying that. And therefore, Rabbi Avohu said, they decreed, say Baruch Shem loud, it will be clear to everyone that we are just saying another statement of Emunah, Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchus Eloilam Voed, Hashem's kingdom, and Hashem's honor is going to be forever. Uba Narada, in the place of Narada, the Lekaminim, where there are no heretics there, Ad Hashta, till today, Omrilo B'chashoy, they're still saying it quietly, as the Chachomim initially instated. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Shisha Dvarim Anshe Yerichoi, six things the people of Yerichoi did, Shloisha B'Ritzoin Chachomim, three of them were actually done with the desire, they were following what the Chachomim wanted, Shloisha Shloi B'Ritzoin Chachomim, and three of them that the Chachomim were not pleased about. That means, according to this version of the Brisa, we're not talking about whether the Chachomim made a protest and whether they objected to what was being done or not. No, it was actually a discussion. There were three things that they did that the Chachomim actually, it was Bertoin Chachomim, the Chachomim wanted it that way. And three things the Chachomim didn't want. Ve'elu Bertoin Chachomim, what are the three things that they did that the Chachomim actually allowed? Markivin de Kolim Kolayim, they would graft the palm trees the whole of the 14th of Nisan. Ve'kerichin es Shema, and they would wrap up the Shema. And they would reap even before the 16th of Nisan, before the produce was allowed to be eaten, they would already be reaping from the new produce. And what were the three things that they did that the Chachomim were not pleased about? They would stack up the produce before the 16th of Nisan. They would breach holes, the breaches, beginoisem in their gardens, ubaparadisem in their orchards, lahachil nesher la'anim, in order that the poor people can eat from the fallen fruits, bishnei b'tzeres in the famine years, b'shabbosis v'yomim tovim, that on Shabbos and Yom Tov the poor people will be able to come through these holes and eat from the fallen fruits. And umatirin gimzio is shel hektish, and the branches of hektish trees, those branches that grew after the tree became hektish, shel chruv, either from the chruv or shel shikma, and that was something which the Chachomim were not happy about. Divir Reb Meir, that was the opinion of Reb Meir. Omali Reb Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda commented to Reb Meir, "Im b'rtzoin chachomim hoyu oisin, if indeed the three things that you said that the people of Yerichoi did was actually done b'rtzoin chachomim, with the desire of the chachomim, that's what they wanted, yu koloi odom oisin kein, then why were only the people of Yerichoi doing it? Why was everybody not doing it?" Elo, says Rabbi Yehuda, "Eilu ve'elu shalei b'rtzoin chachomim." No, all six things the chachomim were not pleased about. On three of them, the Chachomim protested and objected, and on three of them, not. The three that the Chachomim did not protest about, Markivin de Kolim Kolayoim, that they used to graft the date trees the whole of the 14th of Nisan, the Kerichin es Shema, and they would wrap the Shema, they wouldn't say the Shema appropriately, the Koitzrin v'Goitchim lifnei ha'omer, they would reap and stack the harvest, the produce, before the Korban Omer was brought. Which is interesting, because he started by saying three things, and he actually quoted four. Markivin de Kolim, Kurchin Eshema, Koitzrim, and Goitrim. We'll soon come back to that. Ve'elu shamichu b'yodom, and the three things that they did, which the Chachomim actually protested against, was matirin gimzois, gamziois shel hekte shel charuva shel shikmo, that they allowed people to have benefit from the branches of the charuv and the shikmo trees, even though the branches grew after they were made hektish, but since the trees were hektish, they should not have had any benefit from those branches, and the Chachomim protested against that. Upoyotin pirtzis beganisem upardisem, they would breach holes into the gardens and orchards, lehachil nesher laniyim, so that the poor people can eat from the fallen fruits, b'shabosis v'yomim tovim b'shnei b'tzeiris, in the years of famine, they could, on Shabbos and Yontif, the poor people could eat. And noisinin peo leyerek, and they would give peo from vegetables, even though they were not required to, and doing that, as we explained before, would mean that the poor people would be eating this peo, assuming it was potter from trumas and maestros, as peo regularly is, and they will be eating tevil, and also they'll be depriving the levim from the matnis kuna that should have been taken from this peo. Umichu biyodom chachomim, and the chachomim actually, they actually objected and protested against what the people of Yerusha, these three things. And now the Gemara asks, "Sova Reb Yehuda, k'tzira sheloi b'rotein chachomim hi?" Then, as we just saw now, when Reb Yehuda said that the three things that the chachomim were not pleased with, they just didn't make a protest, one of them was k'tzira, reaping the produce before the 16th of Nisan. Could that really be that the chachomim were against that? What none we learned in the Mishnah. Anshe Yerichoi k'tzri nifnei ha'omer, b'rotein chachomim, the Mishnah says that they would reap, they would cut the produce before the 16th of Nisan when the Omer was brought. B'rtzein Chachomim, and the Chachomim were okay with it. V'goychim lifnei Omer, the people of Yericho would stack up this newly cut produce. Sheloi b'rtzein Chachomim, the Chachomim said that you shouldn't do. That's only appropriate to do once you're actually allowed to eat from this tvua after the Korban Omer has been brought on the 16th of Nisan. Don't stack up the produce before the 16th, but you're allowed to reap it. V'loimichu Chachomim b'yodom, however, the Chachomim did not object, or they did not protest against what the people in Yericho, that they stacked it. But you see clearly that regarding reaping the produce before the 16th, the Mishnah says it was b'rtzein chachomim, the chachomim were okay with it. So how could you, Rabbi Yehuda, say that one of the things that the chachomim objected to, they just didn't make a protest about, was their reaping the produce? Says the Gemara, Man shomus le d'omar michu v'loy michu. Rabbi Yehuda, in this Mishnah where it says that the Anshe Yericho Koitzrim lifnei Omer b'rtzein chachomim goitchim lifnei Omer shlei b'rtzein chachomim v'loy michu b'yodom, from the fact that this Mishnah we just mentioned now is speaking about the chachomim not protesting what they did, which Tanna holds that there's a discussion as to whether the chachomim objected or didn't object, whether they protested or not. That was Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Meir says the whole discussion is just were the chachomim okay with it, were they not. It was Rabbi Yehuda that says that it was a discussion about whether they would make a protest against it. And nonetheless, in this Mishnah, speaking about the fact they didn't protest, meaning it's Rabbi Yehuda, in the same Mishnah it says that the ktsira, the reaping, was done according to the Ratzon Chachomim. The Chachomim were okay with it. Man shomus le'doma michu v'loy michu, which Tana is discussing the concept of did they protest, did they not? Rabbi Yehuda, uktoni b'kaitzin b'rtzoin chachomim. And nonetheless, it says that it was mutter. Answers the Gemara, ulatam meich, according to you, hani arboa hava. What are you suggesting? You're assuming, if you're asking a contradiction from this Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda, you're assuming that the Braisa that quoted Rabbi Yehuda is all intact. Is it intact? Well, read it. We have an issue. You think it's all okay, that Braisa? Let's read what it says. It says that three things the Chachomim did not object to. Eilu ve'eilu shaloi b'rtzoin chachomim, al shloi shomichu v'al shloi shaloi michu, ve'eilu shaloi michu. There's three of them, three things the people of Yericho did that the Chachomim did not protest against. What were they? Markivin de kolim kolayim, one. Korchen es shema, 2. Koitzrin, 3. Goitrim, 4. We mentioned this when we read the Braisa. So how are you reading the Braisa of Rabbi Yehuda? Before you ask me a question how it complies with the Mishnah, but how are you reading it? There's something not right there, says the Gemara. Elosomi mikan ktsira. Remove the word ktsira. It shouldn't be there. Take it out of the Braisa, and then you're left indeed with just 3, and you're left with Goitshin, with stacking the produce, which was an issue, and there's no mention of the Koitzrim, of the reaping it. And then there's no contradiction to the Mishnah. Continues the Gemara, Umatirin gimziyos shel hekdesh shel chruv shel shikma. They would say that even though the charuv and the shikma itself, the trunk of the tree, has been made hektish, since these branches, the gamzios, the branches grew afterwards, they were an extension from the hektish, but they themselves were not made hektish, they said you're allowed to have benefit from it, as if it's not hektish. Omru, what did the people of Yericho claim? Aviseinu lo higdishu elokeiros. The our fathers, that means those that actually made these trees into hektish, they only made hektish the koiros, the trunks. Va'onu, and therefore we natir gumzios shel hektish shel chruv shel shikma. Therefore, we allowed ourselves to have benefit from the extra branches. These branches were not there when our parents made the trees hektish. They would typically prune these trees and cut down the branches once in 7 years. And at some point after the branches were cut down, the fathers made the trunk of the tree hektish. Afterwards, the branches grew again. The branches were not hektish. Says the Gemara, Ubigidulin haboim la'achar mikan oskinon. We're talking about those branches that grew after the tree was made hektish. The people of Yericho held that there's no me'ila with things that grew from the growths from something that was hektish, that there's no me'ila to have hanah from it. The Rabbonon Sovri, and the Rabbonon, they held that, and that's why not only were they not okay with it, they actually protested, they were moicha against what the people of Yericho did. They held Nahid de me'ila leka. It's true that there was no me'ila. All the halachas and ramifications of the halachas of me'ila don't apply to something that grows from something that was hektish, isura mihaika. But it is, however, nonetheless, osa to have hanah from these branches. And therefore, when the people of Yericho, they were matirin gimzios shel hektish, the chachomim, not only did they not agree with it, they were moicha, they protested against them. Continues the Gemara, upoirtsin Pirtzois, etc. What did the people of Yericho do? They would make, we saw this in the Braisa, that the people of Yericho, they would make these breaches in their walls, begagisem ubeparadisem, in their gardens and orchards, in order that the poor people on Shabbos and Yom Tov, in the years of famine, would be able to come and eat from the fallen fruits. Oma Ula. Omer B'Shun Ben Lokish, Machlekes B'Shel Mechabdois. The discussion between the people of Yericho that allowed it and the Chachomim that didn't allow it, we're talking about those dates that fell off, but they were Mechabdois. They fell into the upper branches of the palm tree. The very high up, there are branches that are like a type of a vessel, the dates fall into them. And over there was a Machlekes. The people of the Yericho said that the poor people were allowed to let the poor people in, that even though these dates fell on Shabbos, but they were allowed to go, and there was a machlekas whether the people of Yericho said that the poor people could come and take those dates, and the Chachomim had an issue with it. The Rabbon and Sovra, the Chachomim held, Gazrin on Shema Yale v'yitlish. Since the poor people are climbing up the tree in order to remove the dates that had fallen down, they may end up pulling off dates that had not yet detached from the tree, and that's one of the Lamates Melachas, to pull a date off a tree. Vanche Yericho Sovri, but the people of Yericho held, Leigazrin on Shema Yale v'yitlish. We're not worried that when he's climbing up, he's going to pull off a date from the tree itself, and therefore they allowed it. Aval b'shel beina kipin, but those dates that fell into the lower branches, where you don't, and in the lower branches, there are no dates that are growing there, and there's no reason to suspect that just collecting the dates from the lower branches, that poor person is actually going to pull off a date from the tree. There's no dates there. Divrei Hakel mutter. Everybody agrees that it's mutter for the poor people to take those dates. And Tosfos already discusses why is Rashi stressing that the whole discussion is, are the poor people going to pull dates off the tree? Why are we not concerned of the very fact that you're climbing up a tree? Climbing up a tree on Shabbos itself is an issue. So Tosfos discusses that. Continues the Gemara. Omale Rava. Rava asks Ulla a question. I understand that you've explained the argument between the people of Yericho and the Chachomim, whether there's a concern that the poor people climbing up the tree to take the fallen dates from the upper branches, whether there's whether we're concerned they're going to pull off some dates that have not yet detached from the tree. Okay, but what about the dates themselves that have fallen off? When Shabbos came in, they were attached to the tree. When Shabbos came in, it was out of a person's mind. It's not as if the person assumed that they would fall down and his mind was on them. It was in his mind that these dates are not going to be available for the whole Shabbos. V'hamukta isninu. They are mukta, because you're not allowed to, it's called mukta machmas iser. Anything that you're not allowed to take down off the tree because it's mukta, then during Bein Hashmoshes, it goes out of your mind for the whole Shabbos. Because during Bein Hashmoshes, you're not allowed to pull down these dates. So if they're mukta, even after they fall down, how could the poor people take them? How could the people of Yericho allow these people to take them? And how about those dates that fell into the lower branches, where according to Ulla, everybody agrees you're allowed to take them? Then mukta. V'chi teima hoyil d'chazi l'oirvin. Are you going to say that since these dates, they are fit to be eaten whilst they're still on the tree, they're fit to be eaten by the ravens, and these ravens, that they are yours, they're your ravens, and it's incumbent upon you to feed them. You're allowed to actually take these ravens and put them on the tree, that they should eat these dates off the tree, which means that your mind was on these dates when Shabbos came in. Maybe, therefore, it's not mukta. Says the Gemara, no, that wouldn't make sense. Hashta, if we know that there's another logic, a similar logic, that muchen l'odom lo yava muchen l'klovim, even something which is in your mind to be eaten by a person, it's not considered that it's been in your mind that also a dog would eat it, because you only had it in mind for a person. Ditnan, as we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im loy hoison aveilo me'erev Shabbos, if this corpse was not dead, the dead animal was not dead from before Shabbos, Asura, then even if it dies on Shabbos, you're not allowed to cut it up and feed it to your dogs. Why? Lefi she'eino min hamuchen, because it's not being set aside for the dogs. Because when Shabbos came in, it was set aside for a person. It was still a live animal, and you assumed that at some point after Shabbos you would shecht it, and it would be designated for man. And even though it's been designated for man, or because it's been designated for man, it's not been designated for a dog. And therefore, even if it dies on Shabbos, it's mukta. So if it's mukta, if even though it was for man, it was going to be used, but it's mukta for the dog, which means muchen la'odom, lo yehava muchen la'klovim, Ditnan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo yisun aveilim erev Shabbos asura lo fi she'eino min hamuchen, then muchen la'orvim have a muchen la'odom. If it's fit for man, we say it's mukta, it's not fit for a dog. So if it's fit for the ravens, you're going to say that it's also fit for man? No, the fact that it's fit for the ravens is not going to mean that it's fit for man, and for man it's still mukta. Omer le ula seturava, no. In that the two can go together. Muchen la'odom lo yava muchen la'klovim. Because this animal has been designated for man, it's because of that that it's not considered designated for the dogs. Dekol midi dechozi le'inchi lo yimakze le'midaite. Because anything which is fit for man, for a human being, he doesn't set it away from his mind saying, well, maybe it's going to be for a dog if this animal is going to die. Muchen la'orvin have a muchen la'odom. However, if it's fit for the ravens, it's also fit for man. Because kol midi dechozi le'inchi daite ilavei. Anything that is fit for man, it's in a person's mind. And since it was in a person's mind, that means it was fit for the ravens. And it could also be fit for man if they would fall down. Man's not allowed to pick them. But if they fall down, man's allowed to eat them. Therefore, even though whilst it's on the tree, it's only fit for the ravens. But the fact that it's fit for man is still in his mind. And therefore, it's not considered mukta. And that's why the people of Yerichai had no issue with that. Ki also Rovin, Omer Shimon ben Lakish. He argued and says, Machlekes b'shal bein akipin. The argument between the people of Yericha and the Chachomim was only in the lower branches. The Rabbanon sovereign muchen la'orvim lo'yav muchen la'odom. The Rabbanon says, even though these dates, when they were on the tree when Shabbos came in, they were fit for the ravens, they were not fit for man, they were mukta. V'antri Yericha sovri, the people of Yericha held, muchen la'orvim have a muchen la'odom. That if it was fit for the ravens, it's also fit for the man. If it's going to fall down on Shabbos, it's not mukta. Avil b'shel mechabdeis, but those dates that fell into the upper branches, divrei hakel osa, everybody agrees, even the people of Yericha agreed that the poor people were not allowed to climb this tree to bring them down. Gozrinon shemayale v'yitlish, we're concerned when he's climbing up to the upper area of the palm tree to take those dates that had fallen down, he may come to detach a date that's not yet been detached. That's one of the lamates melachos, and therefore even the people of Yericha did not allow that. And in Yirtzeh Hashem in the next year, we're going to continue from here.